a new start, a new life, a new way of seeing, a new way of living. And that means our passage that John just read is really appropriate for today, because this passage is all about newness. As we'll see, it's about new sight, a new purpose, a new start. In fact, it's about a new creation. At the Annaby Churches, we're convinced that the living God who made us all and loves us all speaks to us today. He does it as we hear and seek to understand his word, the Bible, and as the Holy Spirit works in us. And God's revealed himself to the world in Jesus Christ. If you'd been around 2,000 years ago in the right place, you could have met God like you can meet. We can meet each other today. You could have seen what he's like. You could have experienced him. And the Bible tells us about Jesus. It tells us about God, what he's like, how we can know him, what it means to follow him. And it addresses the big issues of life, life and death, purpose, suffering, how we can know God. We're going to think about some of those things in the next few minutes. At the moment, we're working through this part of John's gospel. John was one of Jesus' disciples. He was an eyewitness of these events. He saw them happening. And he tells us later on why he wrote these things down. He says, "These are written so you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name." John has written about what he saw for you and me, for our benefit, so we might see Jesus, we might know Jesus, we might believe, and so have true and everlasting life. Now, as I've said, today's passage is about newness, but we'll know that in order to have new, you have to have old. In order to receive life, you have to come from death. In order to appreciate light, you have to come to be in darkness. And so it is here, this man who encounters Jesus, he begins in an old, dark condition. So if you look down on the passage, right at the start, first sentence, it says, "As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth." He's blind, and he's not just blind, he was born blind. He'd never seen anything physically. He'd lived from birth in constant darkness. Can you imagine what that would have been like? And because he was born blind, there was no prospect of him ever seeing. Even today, there's lots doctors can do, but if someone's born blind, there's no hope they'll ever see. The optic nerves have never been stimulated. The brain doesn't know what it is to be able to see. And the disciples, Jesus' closest followers, have a question. The little two, verse two. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And we might think, well, that's a strange question. We might think it's a horrible question. We might think it's an offensive question. So we need to ask, what's behind the question? Well, it's this way of thinking. When something bad happens, it must be because the person's done something wrong, or they deserve that bad thing. But in this case, if he was born blind, and presumably they must have been told that he was born blind, well, he hadn't had the choice to do anything wrong, so maybe it was his parents. Now, before we dismiss this question out of hand, we need to realize that actually we often think like this. We live in a world, don't we, where things go wrong. We suffer, relationships are damaged or broken, we get ill or injured, and we hate it. And deep down, we know this isn't the way things should be. So when bad things happen, and particularly when something really bad happens, we ask, what have I done wrong? Or what has that person done wrong? I remember back at the start of the pandemic a couple of years ago, over a period of a couple of days, two different people said to me, "This pandemic is nature's way of getting back at us." It's the same way of thinking, isn't it? And in one sense, it's right, because the Bible tells us the big picture of world history, the big story of the world. In the beginning, God made a good world, a world where there was no suffering, no brokenness, no war. Everything was good until the first man and woman rejected God's good and loving rule. You can read about it in the Bible in Genesis chapter 3. They trusted themselves and their wisdom rather than God and his wisdom. And as a result, the whole world became cursed. Illness and earthquake and suffering began. So in one sense, all the suffering in the world is due to that first sin, that first rejection of God and his good ways. But Jesus will show in a minute that we can't go from that big picture to the individual person. We can't say that a particular person suffers because of their sin. That's not how it works. But the man is blind. He's born blind. And before we move on, you might wonder why I've called this first point, our human condition, blind. And the reason is John has included this event in his gospel for a particular reason. I hope you'll come back next week. You're very welcome to join us any and every week. And if you do, you'll find that by the end of the chapter, Jesus is saying that some of his opponents are blind. They're not blind physically. He's saying they're spiritually blind. That is, they can't see the truth about God, about reality. And look at verse 5, little verse 5. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, not for people to see him physically, we can't see him physically today, but for people to know spiritual reality, to know God, to know what it means to follow him. So John's using this true story of the blind man to make a bigger point. He's saying that spiritually we are all like this man, born blind. We cannot see the truth about God, about ourselves, about ultimate reality. And I remember when I was about 20 years old trying to read the Bible and not being able to understand it and crying out to God, please help me. Help me to see what this is saying. I was spiritually blind. And John says each of us is like that. So our human condition, blind. Second, our true purpose, God's glory. Jesus answers their question in verse 3. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so the works of God might be displayed in him. Now, when you think about that answer, that is shocking. Do you feel the shock of those words? Jesus is saying this man was born blind so the works of God might be revealed. He was born blind for a purpose. God allowed him to be born blind, to face blindness for 25 years, or however old he was when Jesus met him. Why? So God's work might be displayed. In this case, the work of giving sight to a man born blind. And that seems deeply shocking, but when you stop to think about it, it's actually encouraging. I wonder if you've ever wondered how God can allow suffering in the world. Maybe you've thought, how can a good and powerful God allow suffering? If there is suffering, he can't be good and powerful. We could spend all day talking about that, and God willing, we will be thinking about it after Easter as we look at a book called Job, so I hope you'll be able to join us for that. But let's just think about Jesus' words in verse 3 and how they help us think about that question. Jesus is saying God is good, God is powerful, and he has a deeper purpose in this man's suffering. And this is what the Bible tells us from beginning to end. God is good, he is powerful, he allows suffering, and he has a deeper purpose that we often can't understand. And for this particular man, Jesus gives the reason that God's works might be displayed in his life. God allowed this man to be born blind so that 25 years later, Jesus would heal him and God's glorious work of giving sight would be displayed to the world. Actually, the Bible tells us every human being is made for that same purpose, the glory of God. Have you ever wondered what your purpose is, why you're here? We spend time trying to find our purpose, don't we? To give our lives meaning. We're often told we need to work it out for ourselves. And we probably find it's hard, it's stressful, it's confusing, and it makes us depressed to do that. And that's because we weren't made to find out our purpose ourselves. We were made to look out to God and his purpose for us. A few hundred years ago, these words were written on the handout over the page. What is the purpose of mankind? The purpose of men and women is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's why each of us exists, that we might know God and love God and appreciate God and enjoy God and live lives which bring glory and honor to God. That's why Zephon exists. It's his deepest purpose. It's the purpose we pray that he will live out for the rest of his life. And it's the purpose for which every single one of us was made. And it begs the question, doesn't it? Are we living out that purpose? What would it look like for us to do so? So our human condition, blind, our true purpose, God's glory. Finally, the miracle of sight. Have a look at these wonderful words in verse 6 and 7. After saying this, Jesus spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Jesus heals the man. He gives him the gift of sight. But there's so much more to it, isn't there, than that? Do you wonder what all those details were for, particularly in verse 6 about the saliva and the mud and so on? Well, one thing is that they help us to see that these things really happened. They show us that this is an eyewitness account. You don't make those kinds of details up. But I think there's even more to it than that. As Jesus makes mud with dirt and saliva, I'm reminded of the creation account right at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 2. This is a work of creation. We've already said that with the man being born blind, there was no way. Even the best doctors today could enable him to see. Jesus doesn't just heal the man, he creates the ability in his brain, in his eyes, to see. This is a work of creation. And there's more. He tells the man to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. That reminds us of baptism, of course. And as I've already said, baptism is a symbol of something else, of having our sins washed away, of being washed clean. What makes this possible? What enables us to be forgiven, to be made clean in God's sight? Well, the death of Jesus on our behalf. As he sends this man to the pool of Siloam, he knows that he must go to a cross on Good Friday. He must die a horrible death, taking the consequences of our sin on himself to create the possibility of forgiveness, of new life with God, of new sight, of a new start. Well, the man goes away. He does what Jesus tells him to do, and he comes home able to see. Jesus has worked this remarkable miracle of creation, of enabling a man born blind to see. But as I've already suggested, there's a deeper meaning as well. This man's physical blindness is a picture of our spiritual blindness, our inability to see God, to know God. And it requires a work of creation, of giving sight and life. And wonderfully, Jesus is able to do that. Jesus is God. He's in the business of creation. He's in the business of giving sight, of giving life, of giving light. He wants to give it to each one of us here today. He sees us, he loves us, he has compassion towards us. He wants to give us new life, new sight, a new start. He wants to make us a new creation so we can know him, so we can see his glory, so we can glorify him and enjoy him forever, which is what we were made for. Well, as we close, let's think about what this means for us here today. First, for Zephon. As we've said several times, baptism is a sign and a symbol of something spiritual, something in Zephon's heart that we're praying for. As we baptize Zephon, we're praying that Jesus would give him spiritual sight, that Jesus would open his eyes to see the reality that we've been thinking about today. We're trusting that as Zarel seeks to bring him up in the Christian faith, as she reads the Bible with him, prays for him, and brings him to church, so Jesus will open his spiritual eyes to see. Jesus will bring about this new creation in his life. Do pray that with us. Second, if you're visiting today or you're finding out about Christianity at the moment, well, I hope you can see that what we've thought about is really good news. Jesus brings sight, he brings life, he brings new creation, and he stands ready with open arms to do this for anyone who asks him. Whatever you've done, whatever you've, however bad or good you've been, Jesus wants to welcome you, to give you sight, a new life, a new purpose. I said earlier, I remember age 20 crying out to God to help me know him, and he did. 6 months later, I was taken to a place where it was all explained and he opened my spiritual eyes. And the same can happen to you. So can I encourage you to find out more? Join us again each Sunday. You're always welcome. Or ask him today, just as I did those years ago, to give you new sight, to show you himself. Finally, briefly, a word to those already trusting in Jesus, who've had our spiritual eyes open already. We need to keep depending on him, don't we? We need to keep asking him to reveal himself. But perhaps today we particularly need to learn the lesson of verse 3. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened that the works of God might be displayed in him. I wonder if we've grasped this is our purpose, that the works of God might be displayed in us. This is the most important thing about me, about you, that God is glorified through us. It's more important than my comfort, it's more important than my agenda, it's more important than my security, it's more important than my pleasure. And actually, as we seek God's glory, as we seek his will first, the joy follows. We were made to glorify and know God, and that is where true joy is found. Some questions to think about on the handout. I do encourage you to go away and do that. But for now, let me pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for this amazing miracle, this creation, this act of creation, opening this man's blind eyes. And thank you that he does the same today in the spiritual eyes of many. Pray that you would do it amongst us and help us to see the purpose, the joy that comes from knowing Jesus. Amen.